look, why do we do it? I can change this right after first change. That makes sense, I think. You can't always depend on what seems to make sense. Second Kings chapter 6. Let me tell you just a little bit about what's going on here, and I'm going to give you some other verses. One of the enemies of the Jews has discovered that whenever he decides to attack them, someone has let them know what he's going to do, and he's never able to do what he wants to do. His wicked plans are always going wrong. And he likes to find out why his wicked plans are always going wrong. And so somebody comes to him, one of his workers comes and says, the reason your plans are going wrong is because there's a man among the Jews who finds out what you're going to do, and then he tells the king of the Jews what they're going to do, and then it's not hard for him to deceive you to make your plans go wrong. And so the enemy king says, well, where is this fellow? And the man says to him, he says, I'll tell you where he is. He's in a particular town. And so the enemy king says, we'll go and catch him there, and then we will kill him, and then I'll be able to bring my wicked plans to pass. So we begin reading in verse 13, where these words are brought to the king. I'm reading in 2 Kings 6, of verse 13. And he said, that is the king, this wicked king said, he said, go and spy where he is, for I may send him fetching. And the soldiers saying, behold, he is in Gomer. Therefore sent he hither of horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host surrounded the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And we'll stop reading that verse 18. Here's the gist of it. If you look at the whole thing, you see, this man, this wicked king, wants to kill the people of the northern part of the Jewish country. And his plans are always not going right. And so he decides that if he can eliminate the man who's telling the king of Israel what to do, but then he can wipe him out, so to speak, or do whatever he wants to. So he finds out that the prophet Elijah is living in the city of Dothan. Dothan is a city with a big wall. You know, if you live in a place with a big wall, in theory, nobody can get in. But all of a sudden, you can't get out if somebody stands around and starts firing. So the king of Syria, sends a big army. And the army stands all the way out about the city where Elijah is living. And early in the morning, Elijah's servant, who's a young man, you don't know how old he is. It's hard to say if he grew up until he was young, whether he's 10, 6, or 16, or 36. It just depends on how many other people are out about it. But Elijah's servant is a young man anyway, compared to Elijah, who's old by this time. He looks out in the morning and he sees the enemy all around about him. He sees chariots and horses, he knows they're not out here just to play polo or something. And he knows that he comes back to Elijah and he says, Master, what are you going to do? And Elijah says to him, what you have to remember is, there shall be more with us than there are with our enemies. Now, I don't want you to know about when Elijah said that, because Elijah didn't have any army at all. And the king of Israel was a long way off, and he was never much help anyway. But Elijah said, there are more with us than there are with them. And then Elijah prayed, and he said, Lord, open this young man's eyes, that he may really see. And the Lord touches the eyes of that fellow, and he sees that there's a great army of angels around Elijah. Not just an army with chariots and horses and a bunch of soldiers, but chariots and horses of fire. A great, great company of God's people surround Elijah. And he knows right then and there that the enemy is not going to be able to hurt his master because God is protecting him. And then after he sees that, Elijah prays to God again. And he says, now Lord, he says, I'd like you to make these people surround your city. I'd like you to blind them for a little bit. And so the Lord smites them and they can't see. And then beyond the passage that I read, Elijah walks out and he says to them, see they're blind and they can't see. He says to them, he says, the person you're looking for really isn't here because I will lead you to them. Of course, they didn't have much choice but to follow in that situation. So they call him country the least has the liberal support for the king of Israel has his whole army. And then when their eyes were open, they were standing trapped with the armies of Israel all round about them, which would scare them considerably for right months or something like that. And in a little time, the king of Israel will let them go, and the scripture tells us that they would never come back again. When you have a fight with somebody who can take a tank in like that, you'll leave and never come back again. Now I want to emphasize that one thing for young old men, and that is just this, that the man who knows the Lord and is committed to him is the person who is really prepared to live. He is stronger than all his enemies, and he's better equipped than all the people of his other things. The man who knows the Lord, the person, the boy, the girl, the woman, I don't know what other words you might want to use, but the person who knows the Lord and is committed to him is better off than anybody else. Sometimes you might just go out of faith, in fact, because you look around and see some people who don't know the Lord, and they seem to be pretty well off. And when the life of the servant is now before the army is pretty well off too. And so God knows that he has armies protecting a life, but so you have armies of flesh. And then blind the other can let it away. I look at it and says to me again and again, the man who knows the Lord and is committed to him, he is better off than any other person. Now I guess we could say the man who knows the Lord just by that himself is better off than anybody else. But he likes to serve and do the Lord, but he was scared to death. Because just for a few moments, all he could see was the enemy, and he thought how ugly it would be to have somebody shoot him. But he likes it in a state of knowing the Lord and being committed to him, is sure that God's plan will be right. Let me say it again. See, I forget things so fast. The man who knows the Lord and is committed to him is better off than anybody else. And knowing the Lord is good by itself, don't misunderstand that. But knowing him and being given to him, saying that his word is best, wanting to do his word, that makes a giant, giant big difference. A man who knows the Lord and is committed to him is better off than anybody else. There are two or three reasons for that. Oneness of God's power is without equal. Now, God's power can't be stopped. Very easy for the king of Syria to send out an army, and his army was mighty big. But God's power is bigger than any human force and can't be stopped. There are a lot of ways you could say it in bigger language, I think. But the man who is committed to the Lord knows that he's better off than anybody else. Because God's power can't be stopped, God's power will accomplish what he wants to do. No matter how strong you are, you're always running to somebody else that's a little bit stronger. And so that was last week, they had a big weightlifting contest, and they drew some new marks. I do a lot of weightlifting every day, and I got a bunch of muscular as well as this class over here. I lift about 180 pounds about 42 times a day. So every time I stand up, it's a big time like that. But no matter how strong you are, there's always somebody who's a little stronger. And at the big games, the fellow jumped 18 feet on the volleyball. He jumped 18 feet, 8 3/4 inches. Before long, they're not able to clean rivers on a building like this. You just jump on the floor. Somebody will jump higher someday. Because no matter how powerful you are, there will always be something else or somebody else that is bigger. And anything you plan is based on power, what you know you want to do, may not work out. So around your wife, who was almost an army of men, who might sleep through the night, not able to fight the next day, around your wife, was an army of angels and chariots and forces of fire. The man who knows God is committed to him is better off than anybody else, because God's power can't be stopped. And what's more, not only can his power not be stopped, but God's plan is always right, and it will succeed. God's plan to deliver Israel from these wicked people that the king was sending at that time. They had a lot of other enemies after a while, because if you don't believe God and insist on doing your own thing, there'll always be somebody to bug you or to crush you. But just for the moment, God planned to deliver Israel to this group. And he put it this way. He blinded our eyes, and we couldn't see a thing. And man said, we will all take you where you want to go. And when they were able to see again, they were standing in the middle of the soldiers of Israel with nothing to defend themselves. Now, if you let them go, because the prophet said, well, you didn't catch them, so you couldn't hurt them. He let them go, but I'd like to tell you, when they went off mighty, mighty scared, and they did not come back. They knew they had now forced stronger than theirs, and what I'm saying here is that God's plan is right. That makes the difference between Elijah and the servant. Elijah was committed to God's plan. I don't know why he probably looked out and saw the enemies. I don't know. But he was committed to God's plan. And so he said to the servant, he said, the people who live off the war and like the other guys, because God's force was stronger, he can't be stopped, and he was also committed to God's plan. And suppose, you see, suppose it had been God's plan for the prophet Elijah to not live beyond that day. He was committed to God's plan. Being committed to God's plan means being willing to trust his word and to do what is best. And comrades, the lesson is that the man who knows the Lord is committed to him is better off than anybody else. Because the Lord's power can't be stopped, and the Lord's plan always works, and the Lord's purpose is always right. I have had a tough time when teachers ask questions in school. I always never answer them. I could sit there and look at them like Johnny Dugan. I often didn't answer because I wasn't sure why they were asking the question. I didn't know what their purpose was. I often thought their purpose was to make me look stupid. But when you're bored looking stupid, you don't have to work too hard. So I often thought that their purpose was to make me look stupid. And so they'd ask the question, they'd say, well, was Columbus' mother's maiden name or something, but even if I knew it well, I didn't answer. Sat there and looked. It's not their purpose was. Why teach today? And I've got a lot of students like that. They look at me like this, sort of like Custer comes back from the dead or something. But God's purpose is always right. His plan always works, and his purpose is always right. So the man who knows the Lord and is committed to him is better off than anybody else. The important thing is to know the Lord, to be human, to believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior, but to know the Lord and to be committed to him. To know him and say, Lord, my life belongs to you, and I want to do with it that which pleases you. That becomes the big man. And this month in the life of Elijah is just that, gang. You never get too old to learn, and you're never too young to start learning. The man who knows the Lord and is committed to him, he's better off than anybody else. God's power will achieve its end. His plan will always be successful, and his purpose is always right. So the man who knows and is committed to him is better off than anybody else.